Okay. All right. Good evening, everyone. Shavua Tov, Gemar Chasima Tova. Thank you all for coming out for this Shabbat Shuva Drasha for the year 5781, which I imagine will go down as one of the oddest years in history, but we'll be able to tell our great-grandchildren about it because of its oddity. I was debating between putting up the source sheet and not putting up the source sheet, but instead I decided to share the source sheet with everybody. So this way you can look at it if you want. If not, I will be quoting it as best as I can, and hopefully it will be clear. If you have a question, so rather than just unmuting yourself, if you could do me the favor of raising your hand first, so this way I know it's coming so I can stop, because there's often a delay in the asking of the questions and where I'm going to be up to. So I may be a little bit ahead of you, so this will just make my life a little bit easier. So there's like a hand raising option in the chat. So if you do that, I'll be able to see that you're asking a question. And I'll try every so often to stop and see if anyone has questions, and then you can just unmute yourself and answer any questions if you so desire or need to. Okay, so the title of this year's Shabbat Shuva Drasha, and I'm playing it straight here, is Yom Kippur Festival of Freedom? And that's because I think that if you were to ask someone, what is Judaism's Festival of Freedom, I think every one of us would answer without even thinking twice about it that it would be Pesach. Pesach is the holiday when we celebrate Yetzias Mitzrayim. We celebrate the fact that we were freed from Egypt. And Yom Kippur would seemingly have nothing to do with that. But I'll tell you a story. My friend was making Kiddush on a Friday night, and he was saying the normative Kiddush that we all say on Friday night, Yom HaShishi, etc., Vayichulu, the quote from Bereishis. And then he says, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kedishanu Mitzvotav Ratzavanu V'Shabbat Kodesho Bi'Avav Ratzon Yuchilanu Zikaron L'Maaseh Bereishis. It mentions the fact that Shabbos is Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis. And then it continues to say, Zecher L'Tzias Mitzrayim. It says that we say, that we celebrate Shabbos to commemorate the fact that we exited from Egypt. So his daughter, who was 5 years old at the time, says, wait a minute, what does Shabbos have to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim? It was a good question, but if you look to the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, so it's true, one of the versions of the Ten Commandments says that the reason that we celebrate Shabbos is because Hashem created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. But the other explanation is that because Hashem took us out of Egypt. And here Shabbos, it makes sense why Shabbos would be meaningful to a suddenly free people. Because a slave is not in control of his own time. A slave has to work when the master says he works. The notion of a Shabbos for a slave is a foreign concept. No slave would ever think that he would have a Shabbos. So Hashem gives us the freedom of Shabbos. Hashem gives us the opportunity to rest and not to have to work. Some of us, I have to wait for quarantine not to work. But Hashem gives Shabbos for people not to work. That is an expression of our freedom. So it makes sense that Shabbos would also be Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. But the question is, what about Yom Kippur? This holiday, this Day of Atonement, on the surface, it would have nothing to do with the exodus of Egypt. Yom Kippur is related to sin. It's related to repentance from sin. We can think of all different things that Yom Kippur is related to: atonement, repentance, tshuva, however it is that we want to define it. But we would not put Yom Kippur as a day that we celebrate freedom. Nevertheless, if we were to go to the tefillos, to the prayers that we recite on Yom Kippur, the ones that were instituted by Anshei Knesset HaGedola, by this great group of rabbis from the Second Temple period who established all of our prayers, if we were to go to the prayer, so I brought for you the quote here from the Yom Kippur Amidah, It's the first source, but it's not source number one. And the source says as follows. Vatiten lanu Hashem Elokeinu bi'ava. God, you gave us with love. Es Yom HaKippurim hazeh. This day of Yom Kippur. Limchila, for forgiveness. Lislicha, for pardon. Lekapara, for atonement. Limchol bo es kol avonosenu, to atone for all of our sins. Mikra Kodesh, a sanctified day. And then there I underlined it and put it in bold so you wouldn't miss it. Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim, commemorating the exodus from Egypt. Right there in our tefillos, we probably never noticed. We focus so much on the achetz, on the clapping, on the vidoy, on the confessions that we're saying. Perhaps during Musaf, we'll be focused on the avoda, on the service of the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash. But here, all of a sudden, you have this statement right there, black and white in every machzer, art scroll, Birnbaum, in Koren. Every one of them says, Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim, that we celebrate Yom Kippur as a commemoration of our exodus from Egypt. So the first person to really ask this question was the Sefer Shibole Haleket. The Sefer Shibole Haleket was written by an Ashkenazi scholar in the 13th century by the name of Rabbi Tzidkia ben Avraham Harofe, who was from the tradition of both Rashi and the Tosfos. And there, he asks the question, and he puts it in very, very clear terms, and this is source number one. So he says, Tema le'achi. He says, it was mind-boggling or confusing to my brother, Rav Binyamin Zatzal. Ma shekavu b'kiddush u'b'tfila shel Rosh Hashanah v'yom Kippurim, zeicher l'tzias Mitzrayim. It bothered him that the Kiddush and the Tefillah of Yom Kippur and of Rosh Hashanah, excuse me, there's no Kiddush on Yom Kippur, although there are opinions that say if you're required to eat on Yom Kippur, you have to make Kiddush, but that's for another Shabbat Shuvah Drasha. So, B'Tefillah Shel Rosh Hashanah on Yom Kippur, what does it say? Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. It says that we do it, why? To commemorate the Exodus from Egypt. So Bishlama b'Kiddush shel Shabbos. So I get it when you're talking about Kiddush of Shabbos. Sha'rei baseres hadibro shebimishnah Torah k'siv v'zacharta ki eved ha'isa be'eretz Mitzrayim. So he says, I get that we put it into Shabbos because why? When we list the aseres hadibros, the Ten Commandments, in Devarim it says that why do we get out of Egypt? That why do we keep Shabbos? To commemorate the fact that God took us out of Egypt. Once we were slaves, we couldn't get a Shabbos. Shavuos Nami. Shavuos also, if you go to Devarim, Bamishne Torah, Ksiv Bey, if you go to Devarim, it says, Vizacharta ki Evet Hayisa. By Shavuos, it says also, you should remember the fact that you were a slave in Egypt. And even more so, Arami of Ovidavi, that we say when we bring the Bikurim on Shavuos, what does that become? That becomes part of the Haggadah. And he says, and so Parshas Re'eh, if you look more in Devarim, in Parshas Re'eh, for Sukkis, Namiksiv bo, Laman Yedu ba Dorosichem, Kibasukoso Shafti es Bnei Yisrael, Be'otzio Sam Eretz Mitzrayim. Why is it that we celebrate Sukkis, the holiday coming up? Clearly because, Laman Yedu Dorosichem, in order that you should know that when God took us out of Egypt, he placed us in Sukkos. Aval Barosh Hashanah v'yom HaKippurim. But when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, my Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim Ika, is there any mention of Yitzias Mitzrayim when it comes to these holidays? V'alo lo matzinu shenichtav behem Yitzias Mitzrayim klal. We never saw any mention of the fact that there was Yitzias Mitzrayim. So why all of a sudden is it here? So I want to show you that it is not the notion of freedom, is in fact more central to the holiday of Yom Kippurim than we realize. And in order to see that, we're going to have to think about the Jubilee year. Of course, this past year, we celebrated the Jubilee year of the Young Israel of Plainview. So it is worthwhile now to also discuss the Jubilee year as well. So the Jubilee year Shnas HaYovel was the 50th year in the Shemitah cycle. And we all know that what happens during that year, all the slaves, even an Eved Mirza, even a Hebrew slave that chose to remain a slave and therefore got a hole in his ear, even that slave goes free. So if you go to source number 2, Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Yod of Vayikra, so it says as follows, V'kidashtem es shnas chamishim shana, and you shall sanctify the 50th year. How do you sanctify this 50th year? Ukrasem diror ba'aretz l'chol yoshveha. You shall call out dror, freedom, throughout the land, liberty throughout the land. For those of you who don't know where else this comes up, it's also on, anybody know, the Liberty Bell, right? Ukrasem diror ba'aretz l'chol yoshveha. Yovel hi tielachem. This will be a jubilee year for you. Vishavtem ish el achuzaso v'ish el meshbachto tashuvu. Each person goes back to his family. By the way, I just have a philosophical explanation for the quarantine, right? The rabbi in the 50th year of Young Israel of Plainview was freed from his servitude and able to stay with his family. There you go. Krasem v'diror. There you go. Okay, so says Rashi, what is this lashon of dror mean? What does dror mean, right? So dror, Rashi says, source number 2a, shadar b'chol makom shehu rotzeh ve'ino b'rishus acherim. Dror, from the word dar, Rashi says, to live, that now he can live wherever he wants, and he's not under the rishus, he's not under the command or property of someone else. He can do basically whatever he wants and go wherever he wants. So what do you have here? You have Yovel. Question is, when does this Yovel take place? When do we automatically have this Yovel that this freedom is celebrated? So says the Rambam in Hilchos Shmita v'Yovel, this is source number 3, in Perek Yud Halacha Yadalid, chapter 10, verse Halacha 14, He says, Meirosh Hashana ad Yom HaKippurim lo hayu avadim niftarim be'levatehen v'lo mishtabdim la'adunehem v'lo asados chozros leva'alehen. He says, the time between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur was a unique time. It was a singular time. The avadim and would not leave their masters. They would not leave their homes just yet, the slaves. But they would also not be slaves. They would not be working as slaves. And also the fields would not return to their original owners, meaning everything was still kind of in this limbo area between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So what would happen? Avadim ochlim v'shotzin usmeichim v'atroseim b'roshehem. All the slaves would be celebrating during this period of time. And when would freedom actually happen? So says the Rambam, kevan shehigiyu yom hakipurim. Once they got to Yom Kippur, taku beistin b'shofar, beistin would blow shofar, and niftiru avadehem levateim chazru sados avalehem, and freedom would ring. They would blow shofar on what day? On Yom Kippur. They would blow shofar on Yom Kippur, and that would be the day of Yom Kippur. So my question is, why wait until Yom Kippur for the official freedom? This slave has been waiting who knows how long for the opportunity to be free, to return to his own home, to have that. We're waiting for the Emancipation Proclamation all the way to Yom Kippur. Why make him suffer? Fine, I get it. You get a little party from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. But I'm sure he would much more prefer to have that party where? He would much more prefer to have that party in his house. So why wait till Yom Kippur unless there is something about the quality of Yom Kippur as a day for which freedom is significant? That we look at Yom Kippur as a day that is a festival of freedom. So why is it? Where does that aspect or that quality of freedom come from? So here we're going to have to take a little trip. through some other sources to understand why it is that Yom Kippur has this quality of freedom. So if you were to ask anyone about what makes Yom Kippur special or what made it special during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so I think everyone would answer the entering into the Kodesh HaKadashim. All year round, the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, was not permitted to enter into the Holy of Holies, but on Yom Kippur, as part of the Avoda, as part of the service that would bring atonement to all of the Jewish people, what did he have to do? He would enter into the Holy of Holies and seek atonement. That is what we're used to saying. But let's read these verses very carefully. And this is source number 4. We're reading here from Vayikra, Perek Tes Zayin, Psukim Aleph and Beis, chapter 16, verses 1 and 2 of Leviticus. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, God says to Moshe, Daber el Aharon Achicha, speak to your brother Aharon, Ve'al Yavo b'chol eis al HaKodesh, tell him, don't go just any time into this super sanctified place, mi beis la parochas, which is beyond the parochas, beyond the curtain, el pnei ha-kapores, to the front of where the kapores, the cover for the aron was, asher al ha-aron v'lo yamus. As long as that is there, he shouldn't go in there, because this way he won't die. However, how will he be able to appear? Ki be'anan Israel al hakapores. God appears in a cloud upon the kapores, upon the cover of the Aron Kodesh. Bezos yavo Aron el kodesh bepar ben bakar lechatas ve'ayel le'ola. Aharon may enter only by bringing this bull as a sin offering and an ayel and a ram as a gift offering. So here, what's going on? Is there any indication that this is anything to do with Yom Kippur? If this was about only entering on Yom Kippur, what should the psukim have said? The psukim should have said that Aharon can enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim only when he does the service on the 10th of Tishrei. When he's not doing the service on the 10th of Tishrei, he can't go in. But that's not what the Torah says. The Torah says he can only go in when he brings a bull and a chatas and he does this service. So on a random Tuesday, if Aaron's feeling it, can he decide, I'm going to bring a parah lechatas and an ayah la'ola and do the whole avoda and then enter into the Holy of Holies? Would he be allowed to do that? So the answer is, look in Vayikra Rava. Vayikra Rava says, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. God says to Moshe, Lo kishem she'ata savur. It's not like you think. Ella b'chol sha'ah shehu rotzel hikanes, yikanes. What's the rule? Aaron, me and Aaron, we're special friends, God says. So anytime he wants to enter, he can enter. However, if you're coming over to God's house, and if you want to eat in the dining room and not in the courtyard or in the backyard, so what do you need to do? You need to bring a special guest, Rashi Yikanez, V'seder Hazeh, go in this way. It's stated most explicitly by one of the commentators on Chumash, by the Sforno. The Sforno, Rav Avadya Sforno, who died in 1550 in Italy, he says as follows. He says, Af al pi shahaisa hadlakas neiros v'chein k'toros atamik k'sheira b'kohen hedyot l'doros k'fi masha kiblu zalm mikol makom ne'mar b'shneim aharon. So he's talking about here the fact that even though for generations the bringing of the k'toros, the daily incense, and so too the lighting of the menorah are all kasheros, they're all kosher with any kohen, nevertheless, it says specifically Aharon. Ki amnam, he says, because ko yimei hamidbar haya inyan mishkan b'chol yom ki inyano lidoros b'yom ha-kippur. What was going on? It's not that, 500 years in the future when they have a Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol can go in whenever he wants. That's not what it was. What's it saying? when they were in the Midbar, for that 40 years that they were in the desert, they were permitted to enter into the Kodesh, or Aaron himself, excuse me, was permitted to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim anytime he wanted, as long as he did that Seder. V'lachin haya min ha-ra'ui. Why is this? Because if you look carefully at the psukim, the psukim said, ki be'anan el era el akaporis. You are permitted to enter when there is a cloud above the kapores, above the cover of the Aron Kodesh. V'ze kol yimei hamidbar ne'amar ki anan Hashem alin mishkan yomam ve'esh yelai labo. If you look at the psukim in Vayikra, Tet Zayin, the psukim in Shmos, Perek Mem, Pasuk Lamed Ches, what does it say? It says that the cloud was, during the day, was always on the Mishkan. Unless they were moving, where was the Anan? Where was the cloud of God? It was always resting on the Mishkan. V'lachin haya min ha-ra'ui she'yah ma'isa ketores v'hadlakas ha-neres bo na'asim bifnim na'asim ha'idei kohen gadol kemo she'na'asim ledoros b'yom ha-kippurim. And he says, therefore, he says, since the Anan was always there, that special cloud was always resting upon the Kapores, upon the Holy of Holies, therefore Aaron was permitted to have Yom Kippur every day when he was in the Midbar. In the desert, every day was Yom Kippur because there was always an Anan. And so Aaron was permitted to enter every time he wanted. I brought for you source number 7, the words of the pasuk, Ki anan Hashem ala mishkan yomam ve'ish yelai labo le'nei kol beit Yisrael b'chol ma'aseihem. The Anan was always there. When the Jews were living in the desert, even though it was a punishment, nevertheless, there was also a positive aspect to it. And that positive aspect to it is that they were always living mamish lifnei Hashem, they were always living before God, and therefore Aharon could essentially go into the Holy of Holies any day, assuming he did the Seder of Yom HaKippurim before he entered in. All this leads the Meshech Chachma to make a very, very fascinating observation. And here it starts to relate back to why Yom Kippur would be Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. The Meshech Chacham, my Meir Simcha Cohen of Dvinsk in the 19th century. So he says as follows. He lived in Dvinsk, in case anyone was wondering. Okay, but he says v'ine b'sefer gavia kesef. This is source number 8. He says in the book gavia kesef, it brings in the name of the Gra de Perusho Pashut de Aharon haya yachol likanes tamid b'seder hazeh. That Aaron had the privilege of entering into the Holy of Holies as long as he did Avodas HaYom Kippurim on any day. Rak shebanav lo rayu rishayim rak biyom HaKippurim. Aaron's children, the Kohanim, they were permitted to enter in only on Yom Kippur. V'niskale lanu ta'amo. And the reason is given, he says, Api Masha Kasav Hasforno Besof Emor. And he says, all of this, he says, is based on the Sforno. Hasha kasu biktoris ba'atava Aharon, right? The Sforno that we just quoted, why does it say Aharon? Mishum sheba'osan arba'im shana haya ha'anan shore ala mishkan yomam v'layla. He says, because why? The cloud would rest upon the Mishkan day and night. Ukemoshe kasuv, shmos perik mem, kianan ala mishkan yomam, etc. Vilachain ba'avoda shebehichal shesham haya anan Hashem, haya adino osan arba'im shana kemo biyom ha-kipurim. So what does the Meshech Chachma say? Each and every day, for the 40 years in the desert, when you were inside the Holy of Holies, it was like Yom Kippur. Shekasuv bo ki ba'anan, the Meshech Chachma speaks approvingly of the Sforno's position. He says, therefore, he was permitted to enter like the high priest on Yom Kippur. That's why the Parsha, when he talks about it in Parshas Achrei Mos, it has to limit it After Aharon, Yom Kippur is only once a year. After Aharon, we're done. Sheladoros who rock biyom kippurim. Only on Yom Kippur. Why? Sha'az Yisrael kemalachei asharetz v'ruim lekaparazo l'shinas kavod hakaparas ha'anan. He says, because only on Yom Kippur do we once again reach that pinnacle of our experience where we're like angels. V'aim kein af Eliezer acharei ma'oto haya laso mitzvah kein. And therefore, Elazar ha'kohen, therefore also, took that was not able to go in unless it was Yom Kippur. Comes along Rav Shlomo Fisher, who Baruch Hashem is living and well in the land of Israel today, still teaching at Yeshivas Itri, as well as out of his own home. And in his Beis Yishai, he says this is the answer to the Shibboleth Halechetz question: why is it that we celebrate? Celebrate Yitzias Mitzrayim on Yom Kippur. How is Yom Kippur Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim? He says, Ki Yom HaKippurim, he says, source number 9 in his Beis Yishai, Hu Sheritz V'Zecher La'osa Tkufa Niskava Sha'isa Lahem Yisrael B'Tzeisami Mitzrayim. So why is it Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim? Because Yom Kippur, among the many things that it commemorates, and among its many themes, one of those themes is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu treated us or took care of us in the Midbar and gave us this opportunity to enter into the Holy of Holies with Aharon HaKohen whenever we wanted. Part of that commemoration exists on Yom Kippur. It's interesting. It's a great answer, I believe, by the Beis Yishai. But I believe that Rav Fisher did not go far enough. Why do I believe that he did not go far enough? Because there's also a Ramban that I think has a lot to add to this. The Ramban, one of his big innovations as a commentator on the Torah, was that the Ramban started doing some introductions. And in his introductions, he would try to encapsulate the theme of the entire Sefer in kind of one title or one terminology. So he calls Bereishis the book of creation because it's about the creation of the world, but not just the creation of the world, it's also about the creation of the Jewish people. So the Ramban calls Shemos Sefer HaGalut VeHageula. He calls it the book of exile and redemption. So now, I actually did this with my class more recently. I said, how far into the book of Shemos does redemption take place? How many pages, how many parshios do I have to go in? So they started going. Shemos, they're in exile. Va'era, start the makos. Bo, finish the makos. Beshalach, they're already gone. In fact, by the beginning of Beshalach, they've already achieved the Exodus. So then what's going on? Yisro, Mishpatim, Truma, Tetzaveh, Ketisa, Vayakel, Pekudei. You have all these other parshios that aren't part of the Exodus. So the Ramban noticed this when he said that this is the book of Galut Vagula. He says, the Ramban says, Vihine Hagalus Einenu Nishlam. He says, let me tell you something about exile. What does exile mean? Exile means you're not in your land. You're not where you're supposed to be. And he says in source number 10 here, in his introduction to Shemos, he says, V'ine ha-galus einenu nishlam ad yom shuvam el mekomam ve'el ma'alas avosam yashuvu. He says, exile is incomplete or is not ended until you return to the land of your forefathers. He says, ukshiyatu mimitzrayim, and when they left Egypt, even though they got out of slavery, they were still considered exiles. They were in a land that didn't belong to them. Lost in the desert. And he says, but when they got to Har Sinai, And then they built the Mishkan, the tabernacle. Vishav HaKadosh Baruch Hu Behishrei Shechinaso Beinehem. And God returned and rested his Shechina amongst them. Az Shavu El Ma'alas Avosam. Then they returned to their original level, the level of their forefathers. Sheaya Sod Eloha Ale Ohalehem, because the secret of God would rest upon their tents. Vehim Haim Amerkava V'az Nechshavu Geulim. They became the chariot, as it were, of God. V'lachein Nishlam HaSefer Hazeh. Therefore, the book of Shemos only becomes complete when what happens? V'shlimo Inyan HaMishkan U'v'yos Kvod Hashem Olei Oseo Tamid. The redemption, the Exodus itself, was incomplete until what happened? Until the Shechina rested amongst the Jewish people. So what's Yisro about? Yisro's about Har Sinai. What's Mishpatim about? It's about the laws that the Jewish people have to keep in order for the Shechina to rest amongst them. Truma and Tetzava is about building the Mishkan. Kitisa is about the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf. Vayakel Pekudei about building the Mishkan. Because when does Exodus end? Exodus ends. The Exodus is complete only when what happens? Only when the Shechina returns to the Jewish people. When does the Shechina return to the Jewish people? When the Holy of Holies is built and when the Shechina of Hashem rests upon it. So why is Yom Kippur Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim? Why does Yom Kippur commemorate the Exodus from Egypt? Because the Exodus of Egypt was incomplete until that moment that the Shechina rested, and therefore it's connected. Aaron being allowed to enter into the Holy of Holies consistently was a reflection of the fact that God was dwelling them among them. God dwelling among them was the completion of the Exodus of Egypt. So when we say Secher Litzias Mitzrayim, we mean that the Exodus was not over until Yom Kippur. And it really, really was Yom Kippur that the Exodus was completed. Because when did we get the Torah? Everyone's going to answer, Vav Sivan, right? The sixth of Sivan on Shavuos. It's true. God appeared to us on Har Sinai on Shavuos, but the Luchos were only resting amongst the Jewish people on what day? Yom Kippur. Rashi Devar in Perek Tes Pasuk Yud Ches, it says that what happened? He starts to count up. The Osalia Ikafti Arbaim Yom, Moshe says I was up on the for 40 days. He says, if you count, Moshe came down on Shivasar B'Tammuz, 17th of Tammuz, broke the Luchos. He had to spend a few days fixing things up. Then he went back up. Okay, Nimtzu Kalim, he says, and when did it end? On the 29th of Av. Shu'ala B'Yud Ches B'Tammuz. He went, 17th they sinned, 18th he went back up. Bo Bayom Nisrati Yisrael, on that day, God forgave them, and he went up for another 40 days. I won't take out a calendar for you. But when did he come down? 40 days after the 18th of Tammuz. When was that? Yom Kippur. So when is it that we finally got the Luchos amongst the Jewish people? When is it that God's Shechina once again rested among us? That when was the Exodus complete? Only on Yom Kippur. During my quarantine, so I had the opportunity, all this time to read. On Rosh Hashanah, so Vasikin was at 6:30, so I woke up early, I davened Vasikin, and I had time to learn in the morning, so I was reading a sefer that's been sitting on my shelf for who knows how long. It's in that bookcase that I'm pointing to right back there behind all of you that you can't see. But in the sefer Yemei HaZikaron, the Rav there talks about what the Luchos are. So he says the Luchos are the Luchos HaBris, They are the tablets of a covenant. We're used to thinking of Luchos, five on one, five on the other. That's not probably the Yerushalmi. If you look at it, that's not how it was written. It was at least 10 on one and 10 on the other. It might have been 20 on one and 20 on the other, or 40 on one and 40 on the other, that it was written on each side, and they were cubes. They didn't have those little circle things on the top. That only came out in the Renaissance when people started drawing them, because that's the way Luchos looked in the Middle Ages. But in the ancient world, Luchos were two cubes. And each one had a list because it was a contract. It was a unique agreement between two parties, the Rav explained. And when Bnei Yisrael create this covenant between them and God, so what essentially happens? Then they become free. Because now they're not slaves. They willingly enter into a covenant with God. You will be our God, we will be your people. That is where they embrace freedom, when they finally accepted the Luchos. So it's very important to say that Yom Kippur really is Zecher Letziyas Mitzrayim, because it is the day that Jewish people embraced the notion of freedom. And how is that the notion of freedom? Number one is that they were independent people. They were unique and singular people who were able to enter into a covenant with God, but also that once God dwells amongst them, they now have the total and complete experience of what it means to be free. And not only that, but this is supported by a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, source number 12 in the sixth parak, quotes Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and it says, "Haluchos ma'isa Elohim heima." The Luchos were the act or the creation of God, v'amichtav michtav Elohim, and the letters were the letters of God, who charus al haluchos, and it was engraved. But it uses the word charus, and the Mishnah says al tikre charus, engraved. What should you read? Ela charus she'en lecha ben chorin ela mi she'osek b'talmud Torah. Who is truly free? One who involves himself in the study of Torah embraces true freedom. V'chol mi she'osek b'talmud Torah, harei ze mis'ale. And anyone who involves himself in Talmud Torah, that person is elevated. That person rises up. So Yom Kippur is far more associated with freedom than we realize, because A, it is the completion of the Exodus. That's why do they want the Eved to go free on Yom Kippur? Because we want the Eved to realize that, listen, slavery is against what God wanted from you. God wanted you to be free to serve him. God wanted you to be free to experience spiritual things in your life, not to be ruled by a master, by anyone but God. Avadaihem below avadim labadim. You are my servants. You're not servants of other people, the Gemara tells us. And so God says, I want you to be free. And Yom Kippur is the holiday, not when you celebrate the miracles of freedom, but you celebrate the experience of freedom. And what it means to celebrate the experience of freedom is it means to have no master but God. Rav Kook, in his Oros HaTshuva, in his book on Tshuva, he says, repentance strives for an original and true freedom, which is divine freedom devoid of any vestige of servitude whatsoever. It is societies that often create the experience of slavery. The Jews needed 40 years in the desert because of what? Because they were enslaved. They were enslaved not only by masters, but by a mentality that told them that they could not choose their own destiny. Today also, we pick up for ourselves our own slave masters, whether they be our slavish commitment to various sorts of hana'os, various sources of pleasures, that they take us over rather than us controlling them. Whether it be Lashon Hara, whether it be various television shows that we might watch, whether it be food, whether it be whatever it is, all the vices that we can think of that so often take control of us that we need to free ourselves from. The people who are able to enter into a covenant with God, the people who are free enough and independent enough to be able to have luchos, to make a deal with God, those individuals, those people are ones who have separated, who have no master other than themselves, and therefore are able to submit themselves with God. What does that mean when we say God is a jealous God? God is a jealous God means he doesn't want to share us with any other master. God doesn't want to share us with, you know, whatever we're binge watching on Netflix. Or God doesn't want to share us with whatever other types of vices and things that we are committed to. God doesn't want to share us, you know, with all those things that we claim have taken hold of our lives but aren't really true. God wants us to be free, independent individuals who can come up to him on Yom Kippur when he reveals himself, when the Anan, when the cloud, as it were, rests upon our community, when we're closest with God that we can exist, and God wants us to enter into that covenant. That's why forgiveness. That's why you get atonement. The reason you get atonement and you get forgiveness is because you say, look, God, on this Yom Kippur, I freed myself. I freed myself of all my vices and my desires. I don't need food. I don't need water. I don't need to sleep. I don't need to do anything. I can sit and I can choose to relate and interact with you for the entirety of the day. This is what we declare on Yom Kippur. We declare we are free. And so very much Yom Kippur is the holiday of freedom. It's the festival of freedom. Because it's when the story of our freedom reaches its pinnacle, and it's also when we ourselves as human beings have the opportunity to embrace our freedom, to separate ourselves from those things which often shackle us and prevent us from being our best selves and from interacting with God as best as we can. So we've had a year behind us where we've had to give up a lot. The social interactions that are so much a part of our lives, the human contact that is so much a part of our lives. And so we can sit and we can mourn what it is that we missed out over this past year, or we can say, you know what, maybe this is an opportunity for me to look more honestly at my freedom. And what am I going to do with that newfound freedom? Am I going to somehow choose some other master, or am I going to choose the master, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And so when we say Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim on Yom Kippur, what we are saying is that this holiday is about the potential that God saw in us when he took us out of Egypt, that we can be a free people related to God, interacting with him, entering into a covenant as free individuals, free from our vices, and free to choose our destiny along with God and in relationship with God. Gemar Chasima Tova. And now if anyone has any questions, I'm happy to hear them.
Yashkalach.
Yashkalach.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. Gemar Chasima Tova. Fast well. I'll send you out a message tomorrow.
Gemar Chasima Tova.
Gemar Chasima Tova,
everyone.
Gemar Chasima
Tova.
Thank you.
Gemar Chasima Tova.
Gemar Chasima Tova.
Gemar Chasima Tova, everyone.
Gemar Chasima Tova.